I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Wednesday, March 3rd. Fire destroyed a two-family home in Wollaston yesterday. Flames broke out at 85 Safford Street at about 2:30 and quickly spread through the roof of the three-story home, fanned by high winds. Two people in the home escaped safely, and no one was hurt. However, damage was extensive. Firefighters were quickly ordered out of the building after two small explosions blew out some windows. The home is at the corner of Hamilton Avenue, and firefighters managed to keep the fire from spreading to nearby homes. David Doran said his mother was one of the two people who escaped that home that he grew up in. The cause of the fire is still under investigation. National Grid says the utility is working on making electric service more reliable in Quincy. During a presentation to the City Council this week, National Grid took responsibility for 8 of the 14 power outages that have occurred in Quincy since May of last year. Director Joe Carroll says the outages were caused by faulty cables or feeder lines that are being replaced. Other outages, he said, were either related to poor weather or animals getting into equipment. Carroll said National Grid will be reviewing all electric equipment in Quincy and will also work on creating better communication with elected officials about outages. He said a major $75 million replacement of a key transmission line to the city will greatly improve service in the future. State Representative Bruce Ayers of Quincy has filed a bill based on the current controversy between Quincy and Boston over plans for a new Long Island bridge. The legislation would require communities to enter into an intermunicipality agreement if there's an issue over a bridge that's in different jurisdictions. In the Long Island case, Boston owns Long Island. However, the bridge would be linked to Moon Island, which is owned by Quincy. Ayers' bill would require both communities to agree to communicate with each other and come to a mutual understanding before any construction can begin. Boston wants to rebuild the Long Island Bridge and open a substance abuse treatment center on Long Island. Quincy is fighting the plan, arguing that it will create dangerous traffic in Squantum and North Quincy. The matter is currently tied up in the court system. Retired Quincy Police Lieutenant Paul Tarowski has died. Tarowski died February 27th at the age of 61 after a battle with cancer. Tarowski retired in 2019 after a 36-year career with the Quincy Police Department. He is survived by his wife and brothers, including Quincy Detective Peter Tarowski. Visiting hours are Thursday 4 to 8 at Cohane Funeral Home in Quincy, with a 10 a.m. Mass Friday at Holy Trinity Parish, Most Blessed Sacrament Church. Burial will be at Mount Wollaston Cemetery. There were 14 new cases of coronavirus confirmed in Quincy yesterday. The active case total now is 181. Quincy's positivity rate is 2.75%. City is in the yellow category on the risk assessment map, and there have been 146 deaths. Massachusetts taking another step forward with reopening on Monday and hopes to take another before the end of the month. It's nothing like Texas, which will fully reopen businesses and is dropping the mask mandate. But some Bay State lawmakers and medical experts are expressing concern about the reopening pace. State Representative Bill Driscoll of Milton is urging caution, and Dr. Shira Doran, an epidemiologist at Tufts Medical Center, says this is a critical time. The state moved to Phase 3, Step 2 on Monday, allowing many businesses to increase capacity to 50% and lifting some restrictions on restaurants. The governor said he plans to move Massachusetts into Phase 4, Step 1, on March 22nd if public health metrics continue to improve. That would allow increased gathering limits at event venues and reopen sports arenas at 12% capacity. Cases, hospitalizations, and deaths are down since January, but the declines have leveled off recently. Two Boston hospitals have received their first shipments of the newly approved COVID-19 vaccine from Johnson & Johnson. Representatives from Tufts Medical Center and Boston Medical Center say each hospital's initial shipment contained 2,000 doses of the vaccine. The representatives for Tufts said that Tufts plans to begin administering the J&J vaccine on Thursday. Boston Medical Center says BMC will begin administering its doses later this week. Lowell General Hospital is expected to receive its first shipment of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine today. Once the shipment arrives, the hospital will begin using those doses tomorrow. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration issued emergency use authorization for the vaccine over the weekend, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention gave it the green light. It's the first of the three authorized COVID-19 vaccines to require a single dose. Nearly 4 million doses of the vaccine began shipping this week. They were divided among the states and other federal distribution channels. J&J says it plans to deliver about 16 million more doses by the end of March and 100 million total by the end of June. The Salvation Army saw a surprising spike in donations over the holidays despite the pandemic. It raised more than $557 million in 2020. An increase of 27% from the year before. The nonprofit feared it would face a potential $60 million deficit because people had less disposable income and there were fewer red kettles out at the stores. Here in Quincy, the Salvation Army raised over $143,000 during their holiday campaign, breaking their goal. The Salvation Army said donors increased giving through online and mail-in contributions. The money will help provide food, shelter, and social services to more than 30 million Americans this year. Massachusetts residents have increasingly been going online during the COVID-19 crisis to purchase nearly everything under the sun, including alcohol. State alcohol regulators have seen a 300% uptick in direct-to-consumer alcohol deliveries throughout the pandemic, according to State Treasurer Deb Goldberg. Under state law, a direct wine shipper may send up to 12 cases of wine per year to a Massachusetts resident. The signature of a person 21 years or older is required for delivery. As treasurer, Goldberg oversees the Alcoholic Beverages Control Commission, which helps enforce the state's liquor laws. This year, that has also included enforcing the state's COVID-19 protocols outlined by the governor. Since last August, inspectors visited more than 21,000 licensed alcohol businesses in Massachusetts and found 98% in compliance with the governor's pandemic-related executive orders. Goldberg also oversees the state lottery, which she said took a hit during the early months of the pandemic. Overall sales in the months of March, April, and May last year fell by a combined $244 million compared to the same period in 2019. While plans are in place to hold an in-person Boston Marathon this fall, organizers announcing that they will also once again offer a virtual race to let as many people participate in the marathon experience as possible. The in-person marathon along the 26.2-mile course from Hopkinton to Boston is set for October 11th, if road races are allowed then. The virtual marathon date is not yet finalized, but the plan is for it to be held between October 8th and 10th. The virtual race will be open to the first 70,000 people who register. Anyone 18 and older is eligible to participate with no qualifying time required. Virtual participants must complete the 26.2 miles in one continuous attempt to get their medal, but there won't be any time restriction. A virtual toolkit for registered participants will include an official bib number, champion's break tape, as well as a start and finish line. The 2020 virtual race featured more than 16,000 runners from nearly 90 countries and all 50 states. Other news, at least 10 rockets targeted a military base in western Iraq that hosts U.S.-led coalition troops. The coalition and the Iraqi military reported it was not known if there were any casualties. The rockets struck the Ain al-Assad air base in the Anbar province, according to a coalition spokesman. Nobody claimed responsibility for the attack. The Iraqi military released a statement saying the attack did not cause significant losses and that security forces had found the launch pad used for the rockets. Texas has become the biggest state to lift its mask rule, joining a rapidly growing movement by governors and other leaders across the country to loosen COVID-19 restrictions despite pleas from health officials not to let their guard down yet. The Lone Star State will also do away with limits on the number of diners who can be served indoors, according to the governor, Greg Abbott. The governors of Michigan, Mississippi, and Louisiana likewise eased up on bars, restaurants, and other businesses, as did the mayor of San Francisco. Federal national security officials are set to testify in the second Senate hearing about what went wrong on January 6th, facing questions about missed intelligence and botched efforts to quickly gather National Guard troops that day as a violent mob laid siege to the U.S. Capitol. Senators are eager to grill the officials from the Pentagon, the National Guard, and the Justice and Homeland Security Departments about their preparations as supporters of then-President Trump talked online, in some cases openly, about gathering in Washington and interrupting the electoral count. In Iraq's holiest city, a pontiff will meet a revered Ayatollah and make history with a message of coexistence in a place plagued by bitter divisions. One is the chief pastor of the Worldwide Catholic Church, the other a preeminent figure in Shiite Islam, whose opinions hold powerful sway on the Iraqi street and beyond. Their encounter will resonate across Iraq, even crossing borders into neighboring, mainly Shiite, Iran. Pope Francis and Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani are set to meet Saturday for at most 40 minutes, part of the time alone except for interpreters in the Shiite cleric's modest home in the city of Najaf. Every detail was scrutinized ahead of time in painstaking behind-the-scenes preparations that touched on everything from shoes to seating arrangements. President Biden took office promising to move quickly to restore and repair America's relations with the rest of the world, but one major nation has yet to see any U.S. effort to improve ties: China. From Iran to Russia, Europe to Latin America, Biden has sought to cool tensions that rose during President Trump's 4 years in office, yet there have been no overtures to China. Although the Biden administration has halted the ferocious rhetorical attacks and near-daily announcements of new sanctions on China that had become commonplace under Trump, it has yet to back down on any of Trump's actions against Beijing. President Biden says the U.S. expects to take delivery of enough coronavirus vaccine for all adults by the end of May, 2 months earlier than anticipated, and he pushed states to get at least one shot into the arms of teachers by the end of March to hasten school reopening. Biden also announced that drug maker Merck will help produce rival Johnson & Johnson's newly approved one-shot vaccine, likening the partnership between the two drug companies to the spirit of national cooperation during World War II. Biden's cabinet is taking shape at the slowest pace of any in modern history, with just over a dozen nominees for top posts confirmed more than a month into his tenure. Among Biden's 23 nominees with cabinet rank, just 13 have been confirmed by the Senate, or a little over half, and among the 15 core nominees to lead federal agencies, 10 have been confirmed, or about two-thirds. According to the Center for Presidential Transition, about a month into their first terms, the previous four presidents had 84% of their core cabinet picks confirmed. President Biden urging Senate Democrats to rally behind a $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill and stood by his proposed $1,400 payments to individuals, even as some party moderates sought to dial back parts of the package. The president's cry for unity came as Democrats, with no votes to spare in a 50-50 Senate, sorted through lingering divisions over the emerging bill. Those included moderates' efforts to focus spending more narrowly on those hardest hit by the deadly pandemic and resulting economic contraction. Biden took to Twitter to signal he wouldn't budge from his demand that lawmakers add a fresh $1,400 payment to the $600 that millions of individuals received from a December relief measure. That new installment comprises nearly a quarter of the overall bill's cost. Domestic extremist groups pose a serious threat to the military by seeking to recruit service members in their ranks, and in some cases joining the military to acquire combat experience, according to a Pentagon report. The report, prepared last year at the request of Congress, did not assess whether the problem of extremism in the military is growing, but it cited a number of examples of service members with extremist affiliations. It said the number of current and former military members who ascribe to white supremacist ideology is unknown. Country Music Festival CMA Fest in Nashville, Tennessee, will be canceled for a second year in a row because of the COVID-19 pandemic. The Country Music Association announcing the decision to cancel the June event, which is one of the oldest country music festivals, after starting in 1972 as Fan Fair. It was also canceled last year. Check of business news this morning. Stocks pulled back yesterday. The Dow was down 143. NASDAQ dropped 230. The S&P fell 31. Stocks are higher in Europe and Asia. The dollar rose. The euro fell. Oil at $59 a barrel. Sports: Celtics beat LA 117-112. Bruins play the Capitals tonight at 7. National Weather Service forecast for today: sunny and not as cold. Highs in the mid-40s. Tonight clear, low 31. Winds will start to subside tomorrow. Sunshine, high 40 degrees. Partly sunny, windy on Friday with a high of 33. Same thing Saturday, sunny 33. And Sunday, sunny 35 degrees. For the boater today, waves a couple of feet. West winds, 25 knots at times, high tide at 2:25 this afternoon. Sun rose at 6:15, will set at 5:36. So again, sunny today with highs in the mid-40s. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News Update for Wednesday, March 3rd.